Welcome to the Tenant Experience Series. I'm Marissa Limshako from Tenavox, where our goal is to make leasing commercial real estate easy. Each episode focuses on how leasing impacts specific businesses by industry. Learn from others and don't make the same mistakes. We recently met with William Schroeder, the owner of Just Mine, a counseling center in Austin, Texas. This is a good listen for businesses with therapy services with office space in mind.
Well, how about we just start, and I'm looking forward to this because I've never heard the origin story of Just Mine.
Sure.
So just if you could kind of go through, like, you know, a little bit of your background and how you guys got started and your journey to where you are today.
So I started Just Mine technically in 2007. I started it, and my thought on it, I always knew that I wanted to own a group practice. And so I went and I worked with a friend on kind of the logo, started pulling together the branding. And given my own background, like, I'd had a booking agency for music beforehand, so I had developed a brand before, I had developed a website before, and I kind of knew what went into kind of building something from the sales and marketing perspective. But this is something that was a little bit different. And so I started it in 2007, and for a little while it was just me. And then in 2011, I actually brought in some friends, and I brought in initially three people, and it's grown a lot from there. In 2012, I met my wife, and of course we weren't married at that point, but we started talking about working together. And then in 2013, she started working with me, and we really started growing pretty quickly from there. I guess I had about six people when she came and started working with me in 2013. And now total there's 31 people today.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so when you went from, like, yourself to the three others of your buddies that you had join you, what was kind of the impetus for that? Like, were you like, oh, I have a waiting list, so I'm gonna try to leverage this? And then understand, like,
I noticed I had this process of continually, it was like, wow, I have all these people coming in that also want couples counseling and I can't do that. Or, you know, I have these other teenagers that I can't help because I'm already full on that. My evenings are packing up. And because there was basically about a 4 to 6 month waiting list, I was like, all right, I've got to go and look beyond this.
Yeah.
So I have way more than I can handle. And I've just been handing this out to other people. Why not do something different with it?
Sure. Sure. Awesome. And then you started, as far as real estate goes, were you subleasing in the very beginning? How did that kind of generate to this amazing office that you guys have here, two floors now, which is awesome.
Yeah. We started with just subleasing from a psychiatrist, and we had, you know, like an office and a half. And then it grew to two offices, and then we moved to another location, and we had three offices there, and then we kind of quickly grew beyond the capacity that we needed there. And I guess in 2015, we actually moved to this location, which this really grew our capacity a lot, because we went from the small three offices that we had there to now seven in this location. And then in 2017, and we quickly filled this up, and then in 2017, we ended up kind of getting the other space, which was another seven offices. And that was a huge leap for us. In some ways, it felt like, you know, the snake that was swallowing the lion, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was a big, big change. And we also were kind of very cautious about hiring too many people at once, because we didn't want to go and have this, like, brash culture change.
Sure.
By, like, having so many people that all needed to be filled up, that all didn't know each other, and having, like, too many growing pains from that.
Yeah. And so from, like, I guess your first, the psychiatrist sublease or whatever, how did you find that? And kind of what were your search modes? You always start kind of online, I assume.
That one I'd actually ended up being like dumb luck. Cause I had gone, and at that time it was like looking on Craigslist and looking kind of anywhere that you could. And somehow I dumb lucked my way into a therapist that was having an office that they were looking to sublease part-time. But it truly, they had a job that was out of the country, and they were going to be in Japan and other places, and they were looking for somebody that technically I had it full time, but she was paying half. So I really, really got lucky. And then I ended up expanding over and taking in like an office and a half, and then like two offices. And anyway, and then as that other, the psychiatry clinic that I was in grew, we needed to find another space. So.
Gotcha. And then for the other leases that you had, you mentioned an agent earlier you used?
Yeah, so for our next location, it ended up being like, again, kind of local proximity, and it was helpful. We had used an agent and had some frustrations that came from that, because we had some agents that were just very kind of frustrating and flip with us, where it didn't feel like they really cared about meeting their needs. They just wanted to show us the properties that they had, and I didn't feel like I was important to them. I ended up luckily finding somebody that owned a business that was starting to retreat a little bit from their business, and they ended up like allowing us to come in, and because they owned an acupuncture clinic,
Wow.
and they ended up like going and cutting down their business from the four offices that they had to the two offices and then one office, because they were spending a lot of time going back to Asia and seeing family and traveling and doing stuff.
Wow.
So.
And so when I know a lot of people ask us, and I just wanted to get your experience, when you said you had several agents, usually you have to sign a contract with a tenant rep. Would you just kind of like fire that person and move on to the other?
So I guess I missed one part of your previous question too. So we did end up going and getting an agent later, and it was a process trying to find the right agent, which I think is tying into this. And it was going around meeting with different people, seeing how we felt about that experience. And it was tricky to be able to find the right person, because we initially did have one agent where I think they were newer to it, and they just kind of handed us back a million listings and were like, go through this and see what you think. And then we had another one, and he like definitely had a lot of experience, and he really did kind of help almost like an ophthalmologist, show us like different images of different things. And he also quickly took us to a couple places, and he was like, do you like this more, or do you like this more, or do you like this more, or this more? And he really did kind of quickly cut to the chase of what is going to be the best fit for us, and narrowing down the price range as well as just the feeling of the location. So, and that was really helpful, because coming into this as a mental health professional, I don't know the difference between Class A, Class B, Class C, and all of that stuff. And like, I could quickly say, like, these are our needs for parking, we think, but that kind of stuff gets tricky. So it does help to have somebody with a focused questioning in the way that they help you to like articulate the needs that you have, that maybe you're not aware of.
And so the it sounds like you just described an ideal agent,
Yeah.
right? I like that ophthalmology,
Yeah.
ophthalmologist comparison, because yeah, as opposed to here's 1,000, here's one that I think like fit you. And I don't think a lot of our listeners understand that you should be interviewing. Don't just go with the first one. You should be interviewing these people.
Yeah, because it's, I mean, personality is a piece of it too, finding that right fit for that part. So, yeah, because that goes a long way to making you feel comfortable, especially in the negotiations.
And so the one in between the psychiatrist's office and here was that acupuncture place that you found through a friend,
So that was
essentially.
one basically on our own that we
Yeah,
ended
you
up
found
finding
on
and
your own.
negotiating on our own. So, because as a therapist, I will say that one thing that was a big leap for me to make was understanding, like, I knew our like what we would generally pay per room, but then starting to factor in like cam space and all of those other things, and what is the true
What
like,
is CAM?
yeah, exactly, and what is cam, and what is the average cost per square foot that we should be really looking at, and what's the difference between triple net and everything else, and trying to understand how all of that stuff factored out into truly what we could afford and what would stretch us. Because in like the therapist world, we're great with feelings and horrible with numbers. So like, or a lot of us can be. So anyway, so that's the tricky part about it.
Yeah, well, that's definitely the number one thing everybody says is not understanding from point one affordability and how much I need to pay, I expect to pay in like different areas, which is why we have Tenabox. But so you found that yourself. Do you have any lessons learned or kind of thoughts that come to your mind with that like whole negotiation process? With essentially, was that essentially a sublease for you?
So, with our sublease situation, there wasn't that much that part was actually pretty straightforward and easy. The trickier thing came when we were looking for something bigger that was truly our own, because there were things that I didn't realize that were hurdles. Like, for instance, our operating hours. Like, we go into the evenings, and a lot of buildings shut down, you know, they're like at 5 o'clock if you're in something that's Class A, typical office space. And then it was a question of part of our concept. We've had an idea that we actually haven't developed that would be a little bit more retail focused. And then looking at the difference of what would retail really cost us, what are the implications of parking with that, just looking at all of that. And like having somebody that helps you to kind of map out a little bit of the like the numbers that go into it. And we had, I will say that our agent in that instance really was helpful in being a guide, because he was like, you know, he actually did kind of quickly look at some of our numbers with us. He was like, you know, given that I didn't have that background, he gave us some guidance and was like, you know, I probably go in this area just because typically if you have this much as a percentage of your budget going to overhead, this is a better area to be. And that was something that was a learning thing for me, because I didn't know, like, should we be paying 22 a square foot or 28 a square foot, and what are the averages for each area of the markets. And he was somebody that actually did go through and look and give us the comparable data to be able to say, hey, this area of Westlake will cost you X, and this is the range. This area over here will give you this. And we actually also had looked at buying a building, and that was another big step, and kind of figuring out, like, also what did we feel comfortable with. Because at that time, when we were looking at doing the second location that we ultimately did in the same building, we had gone and looked at some buildings to buy. And it was helpful because, again, he quickly helped us to look at that and do a gut check of what feels most comfortable to us. Because one of the questions that he brought up is saying, like, you know, before we look at submitting an offer, one question that I try and ask people is, what is their level of comfort with owning multiple businesses? And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, now you're going to be a business owner that has a property, you're going to have your counseling practice, and you're going to be subleasing and have tenants. So just so you know, you're going to have multiple businesses. Is that something that you want to do? And that was something that was a little bit different. You know, I like, and then granted, it like ultimately worked a little bit against him in that instance, because I was like, oh crap, I don't want that. And so,
I
or
mean,
not yet.
it's an
So,
asset, but it's really a business.
yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so it was helpful. It did help us kind of do a little bit of a gut check. And I think to his credit, it made him not have a buyer's remorse, you know, situation with somebody.
Yeah. And I love that you brought that up because, you know, we have gotten those questions, the should I, as businesses are growing, you know, should I buy versus shall I lease? So it sounds like your biggest driver for not doing that was, I just don't want to run another business,
Because I
essentially.
mean, it was actually in recognizing that we were going to have one location that required management, and then a second location that required management and effort to be able to build out and get to what we wanted it to be. And then, you know, having tenants within that space, and then just managing all the different pieces of it, of, you know, everything that's going to go wrong inevitably. And then, you know, in our business, I just recognized that was too many things for us to take on at once. We were looking at, we felt comfortable with juggling one more ball, but not that many more balls. And that was throwing in more than one at once. And some people are very comfortable with that.
Yeah,
So.
no, they can, no, sure, they can be. As you've grown as a business, have you, and I know a lot of people who are trying to grow practices or just businesses in general, any sort of business where you have employees, where were your, where was your mindset as far as growth? Like, were you just like, by this year, I want to have, you know, 20 people or 10 people, so I have to like think that I'm going to expand, you know, to here. Did you guys start with just like a, I think you guys just started with a first floor with this part of the office, correct? And then you expanded out. I'd just love to hear your thought process behind that and how you kind of incorporated the real estate part to it.
So, I mean, for us, I think we knew that when we grew into this space, it was actually quite easy because we're kind of busting at the seams at our old space. And so flowing into here was very easy to do. And our second location, it was actually a much bigger challenge. And in that we, you know, took out some debt with the build out, although we minimized that by going and building in our tenant improvement with our lease. But we still had, you know, a lot of furniture and everything else and all the cost of that. So it was actually a pretty stressful, like, first year of having that up and going, just because we didn't want to push the expansion too fast of like hiring people. And I think we did a little bit of a gut check of like, after year one, we opened this office, and actually my wife and I also bought a house and like moved in that same year. So it was a lot of changes all at once. And then 2 years later, we felt like, okay, looking at our goals at the beginning of the year, which we always do that, we felt comfortable with going ahead and moving forward with that. So we had also explored the idea of like looking at buying something. And so we knew that somewhere within that year is either going to be buying or leasing, and we decided to lease. And we felt comfortable. We ended up like this, the additional space in our building actually came up without somebody representing us, because we found another tenant that was in the building that was getting ready to, I could tell they were starting to downcycle their business.
Oh.
So I approached them directly and then started negotiations with our landlord without representation to be able to cut out some of the cost with
Yeah,
that.
yeah.
So, but I will say that for our first nego like having our rep for the first part of it, it helped us have an ironclad way of everything with our landlord for the second part.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of different sticky parts that we ran into that I would almost say that are, he was kind of like a bit of a lawyer in some ways for us. So, if like looking at kind of some of the technical details of things that were in there and that weren't in there and that we should think about.
Sure.
And also knowing the limits of like, you might want to talk to an attorney about this because he wouldn't overstep that. And luckily, too, my wife's family, they have some commercial real estate property that they own. And so they gave us some guidance as well of things to think about, things to negotiate, ways to be able to go and like approach our landlord to be able to work through some of the problems that we had.
That's great. A lot of people don't realize, and not I don't think all agents are, will be like, go to your attorney. I can't answer this question. That's what we try to remind people, is your agent or your broker is not an attorney. So make sure you get everything reviewed, regardless. But that's, so that's great. You were lucky to find this other tenant here. Did you have in your contract some sort of like right of first refusal in
So
there?
yeah, so we did do that. That was one of the things that we had put in our lease, and then we technically extended this lease to be able to end at the same time as the other lease. And
Okay.
the hope is that that also gives us more leverage to be able to like get an even better deal when our time comes up.
Yeah,
So that way, because
absolutely.
right now we occupy like about 30% of the building. So anyway, so we're the single largest tenant of this building.
That's great.
So.
And so you mentioned build out and TI.
Yeah.
I love hearing kind of that journey. So you did build out for your other office as well.
Yeah.
What was your experience there? And for people
So,
that don't know, build out is that amount, like basically to get the office where you want, build
yeah.
putting in like walls where you need, putting in a desk, a reception desk if you need that,
So
kitchen.
that all of that stuff was a little bit scary, and then because that was a new world for us, looking at like moving around walls and just all the different moving parts of what goes into a build out. And for us, like in our first space, we only did l more limited improvements, meaning like there was only one, I guess there were two walls that we ended up putting in, but we ended up redoing all the carpeting, all the painting, all the, stuff like that. We did some improvements to the kitchen and all of the different rooms unto themselves and the electrical and things like that. However, it wasn't as big as our second space. Our second space, we moved around more walls and did more substantial changes to the space. And it was a little bit scary, to be honest, like whether it be cost overruns to because we had some problems with the air conditioning that were unforeseen to us and our landlord didn't want to cover it, to problems with even the build out dates of it, not like it looking like the person that was the contractor that was in charge of implementing it, that they weren't going to be ready when they were supposed to be ready. So that was scary to us. And
Did you guys have like operations still running in another space as you were doing build out? How did
yeah,
that
so we
look?
had technically we yeah with both of them we had operations still running, but we had
Okay.
a firm drop dead date of like it's ending here and moving trucks are coming and installing here. So that part was scary to us just because everything was lined up in an
Yeah.
exact way. It's not like we had it going to a storage unit and then coming here. It's like, all the different furniture stores had their delivery dates set for like when they were dropping off stuff. So that was nerve-wracking. And we've had some different difficulties. Like this may tie into one other piece that you may ask, which is like difficulties with the landlord and what to be able to do about them. Because we've had some things from like having a little bit of an absentee landlord, so you can't reach her sometimes, which is like a concern. And that's something that I think is wonderful to be able to see in reviews beforehand,
Yeah.
because there's a pro and a con to having a landlord that's like on site that owns the
Oh,
building.
yeah.
And in that, like the landlord that we have, it lowers the cost because she's actually on site and not subcontracting it to somebody else. But the thing for people to think about is like, It also helps to have a very proactive management company that's involved with communications and things like that, so that you aren't feeling like you're the property manager, because that can also be the thing that comes up.
Sure, yeah.
So.
And as far as contractor goes for your build out, did you use your own? Did you use the landlord's
So we had somebody that the
recommendation?
landlord had recommended, and so we used them for the majority of the stuff. There was some more decorative build stuff that we had somebody else come in and help us with, like for the reclaimed wood wall and all of that stuff downstairs and upstairs. We had somebody else do the installation. So yeah.
Gotcha. And as far as like the quotes into your, you know, that number into your lease, you agreed on that number since it's a contractor that the landlord
Yeah.
knew.
Yeah.
Was it more, I guess there's some people that the landlords are like, just find your own, then that's difficult, right? Because there's
Yeah.
contractors are hard to find in Austin.
Yeah.
But did you guys kind of like agree on the cost, like that process of?
So we went ahead and basically put the she pulled in the contractor that she had and the contractors that she uses, which is for like she has a carpet person and flooring person. And then she has another guy that's kind of a general. He does everything, and his crew does everything. So we went ahead and got the estimates on the different cost of everything beforehand. That was ironed out. However, there was the one thing of there was some air conditioning problems, and that was something that initially she wasn't going to cover, and that was tricky. And we ended up going through and finding some language within our contract that allowed us to be covered. So just because, like, essentially there were two units that we were on our second space. That well, it was one unit originally, and we were splitting it into two. And nowhere within our like discovery process was it outlined of, hey, this needs to be split. So that way, like, what's cooling in our space is not also cooling this other space. These two units need to be independent of one another. And so that was something that we had to go through and like get fixed, which involved actually a lot of work. And so it was,
And that was an unforeseen cost that
yeah.
it.
Luckily, the landlord covered.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Because air conditioners are tricky
Oh
in
yeah,
leases. And
it
a
can
lot
be.
of people don't know that, you know, they sign triple net and that you're responsible, you know, for this if it goes down.
Yeah, and so those are things like that are really important to be able to know. In some ways, I feel like it would be great to have almost a toolkit for rookies that's like out there of like, hey, so triple net means this, 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 and because there are those things that you have no idea about of like. What do you do when you're like, we ran into an instance where our air conditioning went out in our other space and our landlord was unresponsive for 48 hours. And so we're like, what do we do? So we had to go back to the lease, and then we consulted with some family that's good with that stuff. And so then we, sent notice being like, you're in violation of the terms of the lease. We've tried these consecutive times to reach out to you. So therefore, we're going to go ahead and, take on the cost yourself, but you're responsible for it. So it's things like that of, working through those different unforeseen difficulties, because nobody wants to have them, and when they do come up, they come really rapidly. So, and then questions too of like, is it normal for a tenant to be able to be in charge of their own thermostat? Like it's a like seems like a silly thing, but like like I know we're actually locked out of ours, and that's something that people have commented on, like that
Really?
shouldn't be the case.
Interesting.
So,
Yeah.
yeah.
And then bathroom situation, like you guys have one bathroom here, kind of like in the central bathrooms, right?
Yeah, so we have centralized bathrooms for the space that are all part of the CAM, and so we have an
Okay.
upstairs and downstairs.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Well, that's great that you have family
Yeah.
that help you out with that, because essentially that could have been lost. I mean, it might have been lost business for you for a couple of days, and that really
Terry's
hurts.
family, when I first met Terry and I recognized kind of like we went to dinner one night with her parents, and like as her dad started talking about his background of he ran a big private practice and like had like 20 something people work for him, and then he got into commercial real estate and started doing different stuff. I was like, tell me more, tell me more.
It's a good person to have on your side, right?
Exactly. So and her whole family has done that. So it was very, very helpful, because I viewed it as like all of a sudden, like I saw this beautiful woman that I was very lucky to have in my life and like have her date me and whatever, somehow that happened. But so then there was this other incredible piece, almost like the clouds parting and the sun coming down upon, the pieces of her family's experience, where I was like, ha ha ha, the Holy Grail has revealed itself. So anyway, because I hadn't even thought about that, and then it was really wonderful.
Yeah.
So anyway, because I was like, this is how it comes.
Destiny.
Yeah,
It's
totally.
destiny
That is the
for
way that it
sure.
felt.
So how long is your lease here, and kind of where are you guys looking down the road? Do you think that eventually you may buy?
Yeah, so basically where we are, it's like we did a 5-year lease with it. We renewed and did a 5-year lease, so we have it until 2022. And it's a question then, because around then they'll be starting to do construction actually on the street in front of us, because they're going to go and redo Spicewood. So they're going to make it so that there's bike lanes and actually a bridge that goes over 360. And some of that will improve access, but while it's going on, it'll like hurt the businesses that are around here too. So that's a little bit of a challenge. And so we've talked with our landlord potentially about buying the building from her. I don't know how realistic that will be, just because it seems like there's some uncertainty on her part. It's something that we've definitely, she's introduced, but we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Because I do have a lot of questions about also like in buying a building, all the different things of going into that and the questions that we should be thinking about, because it's very different than I think being a tenant of the building, of like having, like for instance, I would want to have a very thorough inspection of all the electrical and things like that to be able to know like what is sealed in the wall or not, and stuff like that, because there's a number of concerns that I have about that, as well as the aging equipment that's there and what's the liability of that. So,
And tenant feedback goes
yeah,
into
and
it as
to,
well.
yeah, exactly. And so I know that. That's a piece of it, and also looking at do we want to juggle another thing like that. We've also looked at either adding another location and or buying, just because it is nice to be able to go and buy and then have some equity in the thing that you're already paying a lot of money into.
For sure, for
So
sure. How
anyway.
about, I mean, parking here is great, and it's even shaded. Did you run any parking issues in your other offices?
Yeah, I mean, where we previously were, it was kind of like jokingly a beehive of therapists that were there. So, in that location, parking actually was really tricky. And sometimes people would be driving around, and especially during the kind of like peak therapy times, it became hard for clients. And so it was something that people started mentioning frustrations about. So we were really fortunate that there aren't a lot of other businesses like that here. There's also a dental practice technically above us, but for whatever reason, we don't. It's never been something of an issue, and I appreciate actually all of the shade structures around
There's a
us,
lot
which
of
is
shade, and you could just even take walks around your parking lot.
yeah.
It'd be really cool.
But we've had issues like things like actually the front entrance sometimes floods because like the HOA hasn't gone and put in a French drain and a pump that needs to happen, and so sometimes it's like it'll be walking into a little bit of like a lagoon that's in front of our property. We've had issues where we had a client go into the stairwell and got locked in the stairwell. And there's no lights that are in there, no emergency lighting. And there's a thing on there that says, if trapped in here, if you open this door, it'll set off an alarm, call this number. They called the number that was there, and nobody picked up. So there are challenges like that that we've tried to address. And then there are other things like in this building, our bathrooms look like they were done in like 1988 and haven't been touched since then. They're not great. And so that's like working on those different things with the landlord to go ahead and work through
To
that.
invest in those,
Yeah.
yeah. Did you have any sort of like negotiation in your lease with the parking spaces here, or was it just, I mean, there's so many that it's never been an
That
issue?
this property wasn't an issue. We had looked at another property and came very close on like pulling the trigger on it, but the parking actually was the deal breaker. Because initially they had said, "Yeah, don't worry about it." And then when I started looking at the terms of it was like
Four
not gonna work.
spaces or something
Exactly.
like
It was
that.
like, yeah, and they were like, because initially they were like, oh, Mattress Firm is next door and you can overflow into that, it's not a problem. And then as it came, push came to shove, it was actually going to be a problem. So anyway, and so we needed something with with flexible parking. And as we've grown, our needs have changed too, because we also need some flexible space for like, it would be nice to have a conference room that we could utilize and
Is there
some
no
for.
conference room here in this building?
No.
No, there
So
isn't.
we end up, we found that there's two other buildings that are over there that have conference rooms that we end up like renting on demand as we need them,
I see.
which is nice, but it would be also really nice if we were in our own building.
Sure,
So
sure.
anyway.
So overall, I mean, if there's nothing, those are all the questions I had, but I would just love to hear maybe your advice to therapists that could be listening. I know it's
Yeah.
a big step to start your own business, your private practice, and find a space. What are kind of your recommendations of some things with people that are considering it, and what are the things they should consider before making that decision?
I mean, I think it's good to first investigate the market and figure out the different places that you want to be. One thing that we did is we actually went and took all of the different like the data from the different clients that we had and just primarily zip codes of like where are our clients coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that really went into finding our next location.
Oh, that's
so and awesome. So that way we went and looked at like how many pins we had in each zip code, and then that helped us to be able to see like what's our current map and what does that look like. So that was thing number one that helped us to be able to focus on where did we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then thing number two, looking within that, was then like looking at the average cost per square foot in like different environments. And understanding, like, you know, the proximity to those different zip codes. And that was something that really helped a lot, just because we went and this area that we're in is actually a good little pocket for us. And so that was something that, where we recognized, like, there's some areas that are, like, very popular for therapists, but they aren't cost effective.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when we had looked at Westlake in Austin, which is uber popular for therapists, it's kind of therapist row over there. It's also, like, you know, 38, 39 a square foot.
Mm-hmm.
And so then understanding what does 38, 39 a square foot really mean? Because in each area, like, cost really vary. And so, like, going and looking at the different areas helped us to understand more of what felt right.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I think, you know, I don't know, looking at the different needs that you have and writing those different things out, like parking was obviously a big thing for us. Access to the building was a big thing for us, because that was something that we actually had to negotiate, especially into our lease, of saying, like, we want the building to be unlocked during these hours, because
mm-hmm.
this is when we operate,
mm-hmm.
and on weekends too, which was a tricky thing to be mm-hmm. able to have in there, and then also not to be nailed on our utilities rate that we have, just because, like, technically everything's shared. So if we're doing that, like, looking at, you know, what's the cost plus for that?
Yeah, because people don't understand, there's some buildings that they will shut off the AC
mm-hmm.
at some point in the day, and they're not going to turn it back on until the next day.
Yeah, and so it's like really finding those things that are important, because we had some people that were like, ah, you know, if you do this, we'll throw in the first month free, and we'll throw in a refrigerator, and things like that, where, like, ultimately that didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
We actually went so far as there was a space that we saw where the guy had gone, and without even asking us, because we had told him, we were like, hey, you know, we need this to be metered separately because we run separate hours. And the guy went and he went and got it metered for us without even having us sign a lease, and then got really angry with us about it. And so it's like, I don't know. I think following your intuition, being a therapist, like also looking at some ways at your landlord as like, this is this. Thinking of, like, kind of knowing people and assessing people, like, is this somebody that you want to continue to
yeah.
work with, and understanding the difficulties that come with that, I think is very important, just because ultimately that landlord or management company is going to be an essential partner in your, like, mishaps that inevitably will happen.
Yeah, for sure.
So, because, you know, for one place it may be something with pest control. We actually, one of the places we had been in, or there was some flooding that happened where water came in, and we had to rip up all the carpets and, you know, and deal with that. And being able to do that in a timely manner is tricky, or AC units going out or whatever it may be. So finding somebody that's responsive and kind of a partner in those things is really important.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. And then let's see. I think it's always good to ask for other people's feedback too. And granted, I think that your website having Tenabox is really helpful, just because you can see that data.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing what other people's experience has been like goes a long way. So we did actually talk with some tenants that were in the building beforehand to get some feedback of
feedback,
like,
yeah.
what is this like? And getting a couple of them, just because you never know who you're really encountering. But, you know, just trying to understand, like, what is it like to do business here?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what are the pros and cons of that?
Sure.
So that goes a long way. And because it ties into the dollars and cents of everything else. And for us, like, one thing that was actually helpful, this is kind of a, like, bonus little tip, was when we went and we were doing our space, one thing that we did is we actually went and, like, I don't mean to be a super credit card, like, chase trifecta person, but I'm going to go that way anyway. But there's the, like... without going deeply into the point sky or things like that, but it's nice that you could technically, we did most of our build out cost are on a credit card that we then got a bunch of points for,
yeah.
which then allowed us to be able to go and get the perks from that card for, because it was like, you know,
spending it anyway.
Right. So you're spending it anyway. So then that like 30 plus thousand went towards that. And it allowed us to be able to go and then, like, really utilize that for, like, we actually went on a trip to Italy for free and a trip to Spain
wow.
for free. And
yeah.
all of that's because of that. So those things of planning how you're going to absorb those costs, and also those cards, which was really nice about them, is not only were there the perks of the points, but also it gave us 12 or 18 months to be able to repay it, no penalty. So that was another nice piece of it, of where we had this like grace period with that, and so we worked aggressively to knock that out, and we did.
Yeah, just like buying a house. So all your costs weren't just up front. You were able to
So
kind of trickle it out over the
absolutely. So
year.
we budgeted very carefully and had our salaries really low to like nail out the debt, so that way it didn't like overcome us. And that was another thing, as we grew too, we went ahead and we got a credit line for our business too. So that way we had an additional buffer that was there just in case anything went wrong. And just kind of looking at like, all right, does this need to be $50 or $100,000, or what does this need to be able to help us, and to like work through that. So anyway, so those were some of the things that went into our process. And I know as we look at buying, looking also at like what's the buffer that we want in the bank for the business, and then the buffer to be able to go and like buy something. So
This is,
anyway.
you're hitting like everything that we try to preach on our education center, so I love
Yeah.
it.
I think one thing, Marissa, as a side point, I don't know if you already have this, but kind of having like a toolkit for the introductory lease person is so good, of like looking through those different, like
We
checking
have a
it.
10-step checklist.
That's awesome.
That's like when you're going on a tour, these are the questions you should ask.
Yeah.
These are what you need to look for,
Yeah.
and whatnot. And we send it to everybody that
Because I've
searches on
seen
our site.
therapists where they were like, yeah, like went and got a place in this city, and I'm looking at spending $150,000 in the build out, and I'm like, oh.
Or, I mean, sometimes for people, it's, if you're not, if you're building your business, why don't you kind of go out there and look to sublease for a little bit until you grow your business, right? Versus just getting an office and being kind of screwed if you don't have the business. But yeah, this was super helpful. Thank you so much. This episode with William Schroeder of Just Mine teaches us that moving and expanding a business can come with its own learning experiences. Finding an agent can be hard, especially when they don't truly know what the needs of your company are. William says an agent should be like an ophthalmologist, showing you locations and asking, did you like building one or building two better? What did you like about that one? So we can find you the best fit. This way, you are getting the best space that fits your company. Also, build out is something that can be scary to business owners that are not familiar with the process, but William suggests to work with contractors you are comfortable with and trust. For more helpful tips, check our website at tenofox.com. Also, rate us 5 stars wherever you stream your podcasts. Tune in next time to hear about another tenant leasing experience.